Familiar passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Or in other words, you can't serve God and the world too. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Now I could preach on just that for a little while, but I'm going to stay out of that and not meddle. Verse 26 says, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet their heavenly Father feedeth them. Look at your neighbor and say, are you not much better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? If you have that cure, tell me about it. Cameron wants to get taller. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like unto one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things, catch this next part, do the Gentiles or the world seek? For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But here it is. But seek, come on, you can quote this one with me. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray together. I want God to help me tonight. I want him to help me communicate what he wants us to hear as a church, and that we can receive what God wants to speak to our hearts. God, we're so thankful for your word. We're thankful, Lord, for this opportunity to stand and deliver your word. God, I pray that what I felt under the unction of the Holy Ghost as I've studied your word, as I've prayed about this, and as I've come to this place, God, I pray that you would speak to every heart, to every life. Lord, that you would change all of us, every person under the sound of my voice, whether they're here in the building or whether they're watching on, Lord. And God, I pray that you would do a great work tonight, and we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. And you may be seated. When we begin life as a baby, very quickly, some things become priority. Those of you who have children, or those of you who would like to have children, kids change your world. Brother Long, grandkids change your world. And when we come to those little ones, as parents, there's a God-given peace inside of us that makes us want to take care of what God has blessed our families with. But very quickly, I realize from the beginning of the Word of God until present day that there has become a bombardment against the notion of God being number one in our lives. As a child, they cry, and we cater to that. Every time that Scott breathed, Dad was running over there to see what he was doing in the crib. Dad wanted to see. I was excited about that little baby boy that was in my house. The first time we did a diaper change, I was even excited about that. But really what I wasn't excited about wasn't the diaper change. I was excited because I made a discovery. And my wife kind of told me what that meant. Because I'm a guy. I'm pretty dumb about all that stuff. I know how babies come and all that stuff. But what I didn't understand about a lot of things, my wife helped me understand. Because the first thing I saw was how big his hands were. If you look at Scott, Scott has some pretty big hands. He might only be 10 and almost 11. I better say it like that. Because if he watches this later, he say, I'm almost 11. December's not very far away. But the other thing I noticed when Heidi was changing the diaper, because it was stinky, and I didn't want no part of that, was how big his feet were. And Brother Long, what my wife told me, and those of you who know about these things, Brother Wiggins and Eric and Rachel, who are in the medical field and know more, way more about it than I do, that man, if he was a little bitty boy and he had such big hands, and I mean, if he puts his hands up in front of mine, his hand's almost as big as mine, and he's 10. That's kind of scary. Besides, Pastor, if he ever comes to your house and eats pizza, you better have a lot of pizza. Because that boy can pack away a pizza. But there were lots of exciting discoveries. But I learned also very quickly, early on, probably in the first few hours, that when he cried, it got attention. He probably figured it out before I did. It took me a few weeks to realize that if I jumped every time he burped, every time he whimpered, every time he did anything, I would never get any sleep. I don't think I got very much sleep the first few weeks. But when Cameron came along, I got smarter. I learned some things the first time around. And those of you who have more than one child can say amen. Because you learn some mistakes on the first one that you don't repeat when the second one and any of the other ones come along. I like to sleep. And so I made sure that he was in his own bed, in his own room, as quickly as possible. Y'all are laughing, but you know it's true. But there's this bombardment in society today. Those kids learn very early on how to get mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, how to get them to do stuff. Really, we get grandma and grandpa, and then there's not much that grandma says no to. But we have to understand that when we begin our life as a Christian, when we begin serving God, we got to get some priorities established right up front. Don't learn the hard way like I did with Scott. You need to learn early on that you need to pray, that you need to get in the Word, that you need to come to church, that you need to listen to the man of God when he gets up to begin to preach the Word. Because the devil's not going to wait very long. Just like Scott didn't wait very long to start whimpering when he wanted mom or dad to do something for him. And crying and all that stuff. And I'm a softie. Don't tell my kids. Okay, they probably already figured it out. But it's hard for me to say no. But I've learned that there are some places that I need to put my foot down and I need to say no. And sometimes they don't like it. And sometimes they say mean things to Dad because Dad put his foot down. But I'm Dad, and I'm trying to teach them things that are way more important than whether they get the highest score in the video game. cult, all of that's fun. But there's some more important things that your mom and dad are teaching you. We must fight against the values and influence of the world. The devil's going to squawk, and your friends are going to squawk, and they're going to come against you, and they're going to try and pull you away and take your focus and your attention from serving God. The devil's not dumb. He knows how to distract us. He's got thousands of years of experience working against mankind. We all have needs, and we all have wants, and there's a big difference. As a child, they think they need every new toy that comes out, every new video game, every new whatever. Dad's pocketbook doesn't go that far. And then we have to learn, sometimes those things are not what they need most of. With so many things demanding our attention throughout life, we have to learn to make the right choices and live our life well. The feeling that we get when you pack for a trip, I'm telling a lot on me. Heidi's really organized and really good. When we left the house, most of the time when we were going to Grandma and Grandpa's, Dad forgot something or didn't pack something, because I'm not that kind of person. I'm just like, chuck it in the bag. Let's go. We're ready to go. I'm excited. I want to go. Right? Because I knew Grandma was making fudge. Grandma was making no but cookies. Okay. Let's not get distracted. She loves me. She's figuring out how to make sugar-free fudge for Christmas. Everybody heard. But have you ever gone on a trip? If you're like Heidi, and that pastor, I think you're a little bit like this, and I know my father-in-law, and where's Eric? I don't know where he is, but all of them are just like this. They got a list. When I want to go, I'm just like, chuck it all in the car, let's go. Let's put the keys in, let's go. And I haven't made it 2 exits, and I need to stop and put gas in. And then I realize I didn't bring my medicine. We got to go back home and get that. And I didn't bring this, and I didn't bring that. That's me. I am that person, I confess. And when you have kids, it's even worse. Because, Brother Sean, where are you at? You're up there. You're learning that every time you take a trip now, it's like an act of Congress to get out of the house. You got to pack this and this and this. And like you look in the back seat and there's this little space for this little bundle that's back there. And then there's all this stuff. And you've got one little bag and Michaela's probably got a little bit bigger bag. And hey, I have a wife. I know how it is. They just take more stuff. And it's like, whoa. But I've also gone on trips. If I'm going, a few years ago, my sister got married, and we were going to Florida to meet up with the family, and I was taking pictures. So I had all this camera gear and all this stuff. And I'm hauling it all around, and I'm trying to take pictures, and I'm doing all that stuff. And I'm excited because I'm getting to do my sister's wedding. I'm getting to do the pictures. What an honor. ~75% of the stuff I took, I didn't need. And it was just a hindrance because I had to keep carrying it around so that I could take pictures. Because I like taking pictures. But sometimes when we start dragging all the stuff along that we used to have in the old life, it's just a burden dragging us down. It's something that we're just carrying along because we just can't seem to let it go. We just can't seem to understand. We don't really need it anymore. If you want to enjoy this trip called life to the fullest, we need to pay attention. We need to get the first things first. We need to make God our priority and follow His plan. And when we start putting the kingdom in focus and making that the priority of our life, and His agenda becomes our agenda, and that becomes the priority of our life, all of a sudden, our life gets a whole lot easier. When I started listening to my wife, I'm a guy. It takes me a while. When I started listening, packing for trips was a lot better. It was a lot easier. We still sometimes had to go back, but most of the time, we could get out. And I don't know how many times at grandma's house I left my shop, my medicine, my diabetic shop, not anybody watching online, it's for my diabetes. And I'd be all the way to 65, I'd be all the way to Springfield, and I'd have to turn around and come back and get it. So, pack the right stuff, take it with you, and leave all that other extra stuff that you don't need. But we think we still need it. We worry about this right here, about our flesh, about all those things. And I want to tell you, some people live to eat, but really God intended us to eat to live. And when we get that out of focus, you get to be where I was at my heaviest. And you get to have diabetic complications because you're not paying attention. You're not doing what you're supposed to do to take care of the body that God gave you. And I'm telling on me. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody else. We worry about our rice bowl, our belly, our priorities and our needs. And we forget that really the priority of life is should be following and serving after God. I'm Scottish. Bread and butter should go with every meal. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack, bedtime supper. There should be bread. There should be butter. There should be potatoes. There should be French fries. There should be some of that stuff at every meal. Ask my wife. We've had some adult conversations about that because that's a priority. Guess what? I've been doing keto since May. It's not a priority anymore. And I feel way better. I'm a lot skinnier. I had a skinny shirt on the other day. You know what that is? That's one of those ones that was in the back of the closet that I used to wear several years ago when I was a lot thinner. And it was still there, and I saw it the other day. And I remembered it, and I was excited. I told Heidi, I said, look, I got a skinny shirt on. It's a victory because I made my health a priority. I started walking, and I'm not shaming anybody. Man, I didn't want to walk a bit. Madison, we were talking about this the other day. Every day, I walk 20,000 steps. That's not bragging. That's what I've made a choice to do. 20,000 steps is close to 10 miles. I walk 5 miles before I go to work. I made it a priority to get up at 4 a.m. Go walk. Because my health is important. My doctor was really smart the first time I went to see him since we moved here. He said, how old are you? He knows my wife, and so I don't know if she put him up to it or he's just doing his job. I think he was probably just doing his job, Brother Wiggins. I said, I'm 50. Yeah, because I had a birthday after that. He said, how old are your kids? I'm like, where are you going with this? This is an odd question to ask at the doctor's office. I want you to understand something. I'm going somewhere. He says, do you want to be around to see your kids grow up? My eyes are big. I'm sitting up straight in the seat. I'm paying attention now. Because my kids are important. And I do want to be around. He said, do you want to be around when those kids start having kids? And have those grandbabies to play with and do have fun with? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, then you need to do a radical change of your lifestyle. I didn't like that. I didn't like it one little bit. But he was right. So I went home and I talked to my wife, and she said, she's smart. She's really wise, very smart. She said, why don't you go talk to Ray? He's really made some radical lifestyle changes too, and he has a lot of the same health conditions that you do, and he's off all his medicine. See, I think she was talking to the doctor too. She said the major words, get off all your medicine. I'm like, wow, I'm in. So I went and talked to my friend Ray, and I started working on it. And I should have sent Sean a picture. Since May, I have worn out 1, 2, 3, 4 pairs of shoes. Wore them plumb out. Because since May, I've walked close to 1,000 miles. Because I made an investment. Now, the first few weeks, it was tough. Then Eric and Rachel put me on to Brooks. Brooks are great shoes if you have trouble with your feet. I used to quit walking because my feet hurt so bad. But I was making a conscious effort to eat right, to eat better, to exercise, and do the things to take care of this body that God gave me. Now, all of that's important, but I said all that to say this. None of that has any value if I don't take care of my spiritual man. If I don't make that a priority, so when I get out and walk, I'm getting a twofer, Pastor. I get out and walk, and I get devotion time. I get prayer time. God's been working me over this message and another one that I've already got started. God started working on me. God started dealing with me because I made those things the priority. But we get focused on the wrong things. Every time Scott would whimper, I want to see what he's doing. Every time he smiled, I want to see it. I want to capture on pictures. I had millions of pictures. Okay, that's a slight exaggeration. When Scott came along, I went and bought an SLR so I could take pictures when Scott came. I was so excited about that. And I want to know how to take pictures. And I made everybody in the family sick of it because I was learning how to use my camera. When Cameron came along, there are not nearly so many pictures of Cameron. I was too busy trying to keep up with two little boys. But when we focus on the wrong things, we tend to learn the hard way that our life is out of focus, that we're not following the proper things, we're not investing in the right things. Brother Tenney has a title to one of his books, and it's been a statement that ever since I've been in Bible school, because it was required reading in Bible school, it's a great book, easy read. If you've never read it, read it. The book is Keep the Main Thing the Main Thing. And that's what I've been learning on this journey. God started dealing with me about my spiritual man at the same time the doctor's dealing with me about my physical man. I made a lifestyle choice, no matter how tough it was going to be. And there were days, Heidi will tell you, I came home crying because my feet hurt so bad. I had to get him up in the chair. I had to do whatever I could do to get off my feet. But there's more to life than all that stuff. There's more than putting food on the table. There's more than worrying about what I'm going to wear the next day. There's more than houses and cars and all the things that we think are important. God did not create us for that. He created us to worship. He created us to follow after him and to fulfill his purpose for our lives, because he has a plan and a purpose for your life. You see, this discourse that we read from in the book of Matthew, it's about God trying to get our attention and understand that we cannot focus on me, 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 like we've been taught since when Scott was an itty-bitty, and when you were itty-bitty, and your parents were running after you. We have a life that I might live and that I might give in his service. My priority and my focus for all of my energy and my attention has to be first the kingdom. First, my relationship with God. This was talking about relationship. This whole conversation that was going on that Jesus was talking about here, it's all about relationship. It's all based in relationship. If you'll just trust me and understand, you don't have to focus on money, your retirement, your 401, all the things, whatever it is that's important to you. If you will understand that first the kingdom, if I will put God first, if I will say, God, I'm putting you first. God, help me. Would you come help me? Because I want you to see my illustration here. Okay, I got a lot of things up here, and it's going to take me a little minute to get it all. My father-in-law used this example years ago. Stay. I'm putting some major things in my life. Putting the Word of God in my life. I'm listening to the man of God that God put in my life. I'm putting that as a priority in my life. I'm getting that in there right up front. I'm coming to church when the doors are open. COVID-19, I'm not staying home in fear. I'm coming to the house of the Lord. I need all the intangible things that the Word of God brings to my life. I need that man. I need that lady. I need that family. I need my folk, my in-laws that are back there setting examples for my kids. I need those folks sitting over there that are my family. They're setting an example for my kids. I need that guy there to be helping lead my kids in worship, leading my family in worship, that I can come into the presence of God. I need each of you to worship right along with me so that when I'm having a tough day and things are going wrong, that I feel the strength of the family of God coming in my life. Maybe I should have put this one in first. And I need prayer in there. And I didn't plan this very well. Okay. I put the Word of God in there too. I put fellowship in there. I put character in there. That's what I am when none of you are watching and God sees. And then, but I'm going to relate this to a passage in the scripture. Okay, in that little box there, Daniel, I want you to fill this thing up all the way to the very top. And I think there might be a cup in here. You can scoop it out, put it in. You might have to put it on the altar. I'll try not to make a mess, Sister McCoy. Sister Arlita, I'll try not to make a mess. But I want to illustrate a point. Because sometimes we get some things out of order in our life. And when we do that, we don't leave room for God. If you need a healing in your body, you better put the right things in first. You better put the Word of God in your life. You better have that in the dark night when God's saying, I got this. I got this. Okay, I want you to fill that up. This here, this step right here, I know the platform was a little bit different when we were living here before. This is a sacred spot. This is a memorial in my life. I want somebody to hear me. This is a memorial spot in my life. This is a spot where God met me. When I was out of work and I couldn't get a job, and my wife was out of work and couldn't get a job in her field, and my in-laws were out of money to help us. They were supporting us, helping us pay the bills. See, you look and you see I have a nice house and nice cars and all the stuff that I have now. But we've had some tough days. But God was always there. And I remember the morning that I'm crying out to God, God, I need you. I promised that lady when I married her that I was going to take care of her. And God started dealing with me right here at this step, kneeling. There used to be an altar piece here that I would just kneel down, and this was my spot to meet God. And I was crying out, and God began to speak peace. One of those early mornings, I was over here at the church. I was doing whatever I could. I was working at the church, doing cleaning around the church after the services. I'd get here early so I could come in and pray. Because I know where my strength comes from. I know. But when tough times come, I know where to lift my hands. And I know whose name to call on. Sorry, Brother Long, you're my friend, but I'm not calling you. Randy Johnson, we've been friends for a lot of years, but I'm not calling you. I'm calling on Jesus. And you remember, we visited with our pastor at the time because we were doing things right. And he said, open the job search. The very next weekend, Heidi put all these applications in. And it's a holiday weekend. And all these doctor's offices are all supposed to be closed. I want it all the way to the very, very top. I don't want any room. And then when you get done with that one, I want you to fill this one up. And I got plenty of sand. I don't often share all of the things that God's done, but I want somebody to understand. When you're crying out to God, God's already there. He's already there. He's just waiting for you to stop talking long enough, and that's my problem. I talk, and I'm telling God all about it because I'm desperate. And I took a breath, and God started talking back. And in a moment, in one moment, and this drives my wife, what I'm going to say after this is going to drive my wife crazy still. But in one moment, God spoke peace. God told me it was going to be okay. He's going to work it out. And in the space of, I don't know how many days it was. It wasn't very many. She had more job offers than we could accept. God started working out. We put our house on the market while the market was crashing. And we left because we did everything we could. We moved. We did all the things right. And God did everything he said he would. Everything that he said he would. But the thing that drives my wife crazy is from that point, God dealt with me about fear and about worry and about stress. And now I don't worry. when stuff goes crazy wrong, and it's happened since then. We both got fired in the same week. God came through. We've never gone without. We've always had food on the table. It's not always been steaks and whatever your favorite food is that you go treat yourself to when you go out to eat. There was a lot of times it was hamburger helper and but I'm telling you, what I feel in my heart, don't put the cart before the horse. Don't get in front of God's plan and God's purpose and God's will for your life by trying to do it all by yourself. Because when you do that stuff, He's getting really close. I have a tray up here because there's more to go. Some of you that have seen this before, you know where I'm going. Because this other stuff is the cares of life. It all comes in there. And this foolish man on the sand, he ain't got room for anything else. He don't have room for God. He don't have room for church. He don't have room for anything but himself. He's all filled up with himself. And I got this one all full, and I've got all these rocks in God, and all the priorities are in first. Because this is our life. We have all this stuff going on. And right now with COVID, we think that that's a reason to stay home and not come to the house of God. Our priorities are out of focus. We don't have God as a priority. Because when we put God in first, He pours more stuff into our life. Because there's room. Can you get that open for me? Because He puts in and He puts in. See that water draining down in there? It's changing color in the sand. And all of a sudden, as the presence of God comes into your situation, God starts to overflow. The presence of God starts to overflow to those that are around you. When you go to your job, you're not just there to get a job to pay your bills. That job is just a way to provide for the kingdom. That job's a way that you can invest what God's blessed you with. Look, I can get more and more. And as the presence of God keeps soaking in, I can keep adding more. And it's going to keep overflowing. It's going to keep filling me up. And for the sake of time, I'm going to stop with that. I think you understand the process of what I'm saying. When you put God in as first, and all the things of God is the priority of your life, when it's not your car and your job and your house and all your stuff, and when God's asking you to do something and you put a but, you've got your priorities out of focus. Because you're saying, but God, I've got kids to take care of. I've got bills to pay. I got to go to work. We all do. But you're not trusting God when you put all of those conditions before you say yes. One of the first things I told Pastor McCoy when we came, whatever you ask, I say yes. And anything he's asked me to do, I've said yes. Because I learned a lesson a long time ago. When I put God first and His kingdom first, and when I show up and do whatever is necessary to get the job done for God's kingdom, God starts to pour it over. And I don't have room enough to contain all the blessings that God puts in my life. I don't have to worry about my house and my car and my air conditioner and the roof on it and my food and all that other stuff that we fill our lives up with. Don't get me wrong. Those things are somewhat important. But they're not the most important thing that you have in your life. Your most important thing that you have in your life is your relationship with Jesus Christ. Nobody else loves you like He does. Nobody else wants the best for you like He does. Nobody else already knows the end from the beginning of your life. He's already looked down here and said, when you get way down here, you can't even imagine. He's over here and He's already excited about what He's going to do. If Harvest Ministries is going to reach this region, if Harvest Ministries is going to reach this region, we're going to have to put God back number one, first priority, nothing else. You know, my job and the state of Missouri both expect when I go to work, I put these things on. They get my eyes in focus. I can see what I'm supposed to do. And all these precious people around here who let their kids get on my bus, it's because my eyes are in focus. But we get distracted. I'm a little ADD pastor. I just like rabbit, squirrel, hippopotamus. And some of you who are OCD were trying to figure out what I was going to do because I had all this stuff covered up and you weren't paying one lick of attention to what I was saying. I know because that is that person if I was out there. I'd be trying to figure out where you were going. But when we put God priority number one in our lives, and this is a simple, basic message. I know it is. And I've got oodles of notes. My wife will tell you because she read them. She made sure that I didn't type my notes wrong because my fingers get. If I could just type. But it's the process when I study. I type. And the fact that I'm slow helps me to process what God's speaking to me. But sometimes I still get fat fingers and I miss the spelling and the grammar and all that stuff. But I want to encourage somebody as we stand together. I could go longer, but I feel like God, the point has come home. Now we need to respond. We need to make a fresh commitment to God. God, You're not number two. You're not number three. You're number one. You are my priority. Everything that I do is about You. If God blesses you with a new car, it's how can I use that car to bless the kingdom. If God gives you a raise on your job, it's how can I use that extra money to be a blessing in the kingdom. When you invest in the kingdom first, God pours out and it just keeps coming. And His presence just keeps coming. And it just keeps overflowing out of our life. And people around are saying, How is it that you can go through all this mess that the world is dealing with right now? The church needs to be the church so that the world can see that Jesus Christ is the answer. If we respond like the world, they'll never see Jesus. They'll see you. They need to see Him through me. They need to see Him through each of us. They need to see, wow, no matter what they went through. And some of you were here when Heidi and I were going through that. And some of you didn't understand, like we didn't understand why we had to move away. But God did some things while we were away. Two of them are downstairs. God blessed two of our kids, us with two kids from adoption from the time that we were in Illinois. we return home full and blessed and full of the blessings and favor of God. Because even while we were gone, God was still priority. Even though I didn't understand why we had to move away, because we were, Pastor, you can turn your hearing aids off right now. I was involved up to my eyeballs and beyond. But God has always been my number one priority. There were some lessons that I needed to learn in Illinois, that we needed to learn in Illinois. And God has brought us back. We're not here by accident. None of you are here by accident. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. If you will make him your priority, and that's what I want us to do for the next few moments, make God our priority so that God can use this church to be what he saw. Because I could have read all my scriptures from Haggai, and he's talking about the latter house shall be greater than the former. It's talking about the second temple. The first temple was beautiful. It was Solomon's temple. And there was gold and rubies and diamonds, and the presence of God came in so strong that the priesthood couldn't even minister. And all those people that remembered that or heard that from and had been passed down, when they saw this second temple, they were just like, that's just like a pigsty in comparison. And God said, you're looking with the wrong eyes and the wrong focus, because that second temple, it was the latter end, was greater than the former. And God wants our latter. He wants what harvest is going to be greater than what we used to be. He wants your life to be greater than what it used to be. All that stuff you used to be, God wants to make you better and stronger and greater so that you can be the greatest serving Christian for his purpose. So that we can reach Springfield, Nixa, Ozark, Republic, Clever, whatever city you live in. God wants to reach them with the apostolic doctrine, with truth, with the liberating power of the name of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of false doctrine in this city, and I speak against it right now. I feel bold in the spirit, Pastor. I feel something right here. We need to talk to God. Let's let God be our focus, that God can begin to do a work in this region right now. Let this be the beginning of what God wants to do for Harvest Ministries. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we magnify your name. We glorify you, Lord. Lord, we give ourselves to you right now. Oh, come on, Harvest. Cry out to him. Let's just take the next few minutes. We don't usually get done till 8:15. Let's give God the next 8 minutes and just see what God will do in our midst.